Joining us on the line is Emily Schrader. She's the founder of Social Light Creative. She's a columnist at the Jerusalem Post and a research fellow at Tel Aviv Institute. If you do not follow her on social media, you are making a mistake. Emily, a very, very good morning. And firstly, before anything, I want to congratulate you on getting engaged this week. Mazal tov.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So it was a remarkable scene, your proposal in the midst of, I don't know, complete chaos of the couple of weeks that has been. So, Emily, many of us, you're very much on the front line on social media. Now that there's a pause, because I don't think this is over, now that there's a pause in it, do you think that there'll be any positive introspection where maybe celebrities, maybe news media will look back and say, ooh, maybe we were a little hysterical and shrill and inaccurate in our reporting? Is there hope? Is there a chance of that?
So as it stands right now, I think it's really too soon to say. And it scares me that I even have to say that. But unfortunately, just looking at social media right now and what's happening abroad, actually, not even within Israel, is super alarming. As you mentioned in your intro, it's kind of a scale we've never seen on social media. We've seen a lot of activism surrounding different conflicts with Israel and Gaza in particular, but this time it's been a lot more explicit anti-Semitism. And unfortunately right now what we're seeing is that that is manifesting abroad even more than it has in Israel. And New York City this morning or yesterday seems like absolute chaos. There's multiple anti-Semitic attacks. Los Angeles, which has a huge Jewish community, is also, they're having violent attacks. London, they're chanting about raping Jews. I mean, it's a scale that I've never seen before. So I think that there is, in the long term, there's potential that people can look back and learn from this, including the media and including some of the political leaders who have made outrageous comments in the United States and other countries too, and see how the things that they've said and the way that they've framed the narrative has resulted in an increase in anti-Semitism for Jews everywhere in the world. I don't think we're at that point yet, and that's scary.
Yeah, it does seem unlikely. The other part, of course, that is deeply problematic is, and I mentioned this on the show a little bit earlier, we had a lot of reaction to the bombing of the building that housed Al Jazeera as well as Associated Press and Hamas. But with all of their presence, we still don't seem to be getting any form of real reporting coming out of Gaza. There's no investigative journalism happening there. There's no real insight into life in Gaza. All we seem to ever see are very sad-looking Gazan children, and I'm sure they are sad, but that's hardly a justification for having multiple media, international media offices in the area.
Right. So there's a few factors going on when it comes to the press in Gaza. The first is that it's not a free area, I guess. We know from the reports, even from 2014, that reporters who are operating in Gaza are censored by Hamas and that they're not free to report the things that they may or may not be seeing. When it comes to Al Jazeera and the AP, the evidence was released by the army just, I think it was yesterday or perhaps the day before, explaining that in the same building they had the Hamas GPS coordination based out of that building, and they also had technological weapons center in the same building. Now, we don't know if AP or Al Jazeera or anyone else who was in the building knew that. But as I explained, like on my social media, there's really no reason why Israel would take that risk, the PR risk of bombing that building and evacuating it ahead of time and all of the controversy surrounding it if they didn't have a reason to do it. So that's something that's not being reported in the media at all. And actually, one of the things that I talked about this week in another interview I did is that some of the stuff, like how Israel has tried to transfer humanitarian aid three times third time it was successful. But the first two were unsuccessful because Hamas bombed the convoy. They fired rockets at their own humanitarian aid that was being transferred to the people of Gaza. In one of the incidents, a soldier who was there physically coordinating the transfer was actually injured in the rocket attack. And this just hasn't been covered in the international press for the most part. There's been a few, you know, one or two places, but they're just not reporting it. And I think that's really problematic because it shows the true face of who we're dealing with. And there's been a concerted effort on the part of the media, and of course that's amplified on social media after, to make Israel the Goliath and the Palestinians David. And that's not the situation at all. It's just simply not the reality.
Mm. You know, we've had so much information and so much dialogue around fake news, but there's another aspect of that I've always believed and I've written about, and that is narrative news. That is possibly more dangerous, because when you're trying to fit something into a narrative, then you are often forced to ignore certain stories. The one that you've just spoken about is one of them. The other problem, and not ask the questions, how does Hamas have access to 4,000 rockets while still claiming that it's an open-air prison? How do these things reconcile? And it's very, very obvious to see if you choose to see it. But if you employ cognitive dissonance in order not to see it, then how do we ever portray another side of the story if somebody blatantly has chosen not to see it?
So I think that this is one of the biggest challenges on, you know, for Israel on social media and in media. The best way that I would advise to show people the truth is just to continue trying to talk about these issues and trying to come up with more creative content, as I have done on social media and also in the media and the things that we write. That's the best way to fight back, is to keep fighting. You can't give up. At the same time, I think that what you said is exactly right when it comes to the narrative and how people ignore. And by the way, this does happen on both sides to a certain extent. But unfortunately, what we've seen with this escalation of violence is that this is what started the violence. Because from the beginning with the Sheikh Jarrah housing issue, there was a lot of misinformation, in particular in the Palestinian territory, about what was happening. And instead of being a dispute that was an ongoing court case for over a decade, it became an issue of the narrative of Palestinians. So they were saying, oh, well, this is about Israel expelling Palestinians and Israel stealing their land. Now, obviously, that's not true here. That's not the case at all. But all of a sudden, nobody cared about what the facts were of the case. Nobody cared about the fact that this isn't even a finalized case. It's still ongoing in the court. It became about the narrative, and that is the problem. That is what led to the escalation of violence. It's what led to the Temple Mount riots, and it's what led to Hamas taking advantage of the situation and attacking Israel.
Yeah, but the problem is, again, if you don't want to see the truth, then you won't. You know, if you choose not to see the thousands of rockets that are raining on down on Israeli civilians, and all you choose to see is the oppressed on the other side of the Gazan border, then it's very, very hard to force somebody to see it.
That's true, but I do want to add something to be a little bit positive.
Yes, please do that. Because as you can hear, I feel a little beaten by the last couple of weeks. So a bit of positivity wouldn't do me any harm.
I was just going to say that when the issue first came up, the rhetoric attacking Israel and the approach to Israel's role in the issue when it was only the Temple Mount riots and Sheikh Jarrah was much worse than what it is now. And I think that in a way, as a result of Hamas taking advantage of the situation, Hamas with the backing of Iran, and attacking Israel, we can point to the aggressor on the other side and show what the evidence is. And, you know, there's people who are going to say, oh, it's disproportionate and Israel is stronger. And, you know, we're dealing with those false claims anyway, separately. But the fact that now we can point to proof that there is escalation caused by the other side is something that wasn't in the discussion initially. Initially, it was just Israel is doing XYZ to the Palestinians.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that is where we leave it. Before I let you go, do you think that the last couple of weeks is going to force Israel to some extent to relook at its approach to media and to social media?
I think that, and this might surprise you, I think that Israel has actually been pretty good when it comes to social media. Compared to any other country in the world, they have, you know, an issue that nobody else has to deal with. And you know, the Prime Minister's Office, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and of course the IDF have all been very, very active on social media, more so than we see with any other country or any other conflict in the world. And I think that they've actually done quite a good job. What we need is the Jewish community and supporters of Israel to be more active and more vocal on social media, to follow the issues and stick to the facts and to engage, even though we're dealing with a lot of pushback. What we saw in this conflict that I haven't seen before is there were people who were sort of in the middle, even within some of the Jewish communities, who suddenly became anti-Israel because they didn't know what the facts were or they didn't care to actually research it. So we need to educate within our communities and within our friends and acquaintances about what's happening, not just in times of war, but in times of peace as well, so that people understand a little bit more of the context and they don't get swayed by these emotionally compelling narratives that don't have any regard for the facts.